Regarding announcements, we are updating our snow list. Please make changes as necessary. That's the list that we use to call people if for any reason there is a class cancellation. We will publish a new one come this February. Also check the voting membership roll if you're not sure if you're a member or some error happened clerically, so to speak, where your name isn't on there and it's not in the Book of Life and you need it to be and you'd really like it to be. Please check the voting membership roll to make sure you are on the list. In light of the fact that we're going to have a special business meeting that's already been previously announced regarding to vote for or not to vote for getting a loan to put a roof on, a pitched roof probably, on this building. And we're going to do that in the second session, January the 8th, Sunday. So please keep that on your prayer list. And those of you who are part of the voting franchise have the right to be in here and hear the presentation and ask questions and do this in fellowship. And that's my hope. And then we'll take a vote so the deacons know which way we need to go. That'll be our function of democracy for the year, aside from our annual business meeting, which usually we don't do too much other than make reports. Okay, be sure you're where you need to be, aside from in these walls, in fellowship. The present dispensation is a very privileged dispensation. You will grow in your appreciation of it as we study Bible doctrine. It came to be as a result of God anticipating the corruption of the nation of Israel, his chosen people. He was left with no choice, and out of the bag he pulls the church age. The church age comes at a very important point in the development of the plan of God. When Jesus Christ has come, accomplished his work, been glorified, and this intensifies by implication the angelic conflict. Satan's back is broken, though he is very active and very much involved in his evil activities. Nevertheless, his goal to frustrate the advent of Christ was totally frustrated, and Jesus Christ is resurrected, and Satan knows from that he is doomed. But it doesn't keep him from continually doing his activity, however. So we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. The thing that is missing in the thinking of many Christians who are Bible believers, they call themselves, is the importance of Bible doctrine. It has always been important. It was important in the garden. What do you think how God met with the man and the woman? It was to meet with them and present to them, as there were no other teachers. I suppose an angel could have been used, but the Lord himself taught the woman, the man and the woman in the garden. And since then, doctrine has been important, and it's never been more important than in the present dispensation. This dispensation is stripped largely of ritual, very Spartan compared to the age of Israel, obviously. Very Spartan with regard to the overt ritual ceremony. Limited to the things you see at Maranatha Church. This has not made other people happy, and they have incorporated and have elaborate ritual pomp and circumstance, which is absolutely meaningless, not authorized by God. Everything from religious holidays that they think are holy days. They are not holy days because they say they are holy days. It's a holy day because God so designated it. The only days that have kind of snuck in legitimately were Hanukkah, but this was a national celebration of God's deliverance of the Jews from the oppression of Antiochus Epiphanes, and they made it a holiday. And there was one other one, God's deliverance of the Jews from the conspiracy of Haman, Purim, the Feast of Purim. None of these are found in the Mosaic Law. These holidays were put on the Jewish calendar, and even Jesus honored them. even though they were not directly designated holidays. That does not mean that our current litany of holidays necessarily is anything that glorifies God at all, since we have so corrupted them with, in addition to the fact that there are no special holidays in this dispensation authorized. This does not please people. But everyone like myself had Romans chapter 14 to read. And Romans 14, when properly understood and exegeted and communicated, is the standard for our approach to holiday keeping in the present dispensation. I mean, theoretically, there wouldn't be anything wrong with honoring the advent of Jesus Christ, but they don't get the right day. They incorporate all kinds of pagan symbolism into it, which is simply a takeoff of Catholicism, which was famous for, oh, you're a pagan. You like to do what? Okay, no problem, except we will Christianize it. I saw this on the History Channel dealing with dragons and stuff, the history of the thought of man regarding the great red dragon we have in Revelation, but the history of man's attitude towards dragons all through religious and otherwise. It was very interesting. And they made the direct comment that the church was busy doing this sort of thing. The church, they mean, of course, the RCC, the Roman Catholic Church, that did this. And, of course, the organizations that was spun off of this, some of them resisted this, but others all eventually gave into it. This is another aspect of this dispensation. Okay, some people it throws cold water on their fun, but you as a believer in your maturity, your thinking, need to sort this out in your own thinking, and you will hopefully over time sort it out, come to a point of being comfortable with your approach to what we call the holidays, which are Christian and non-Christian. Some are national holidays. Some are in the vein of our culture. Other cultures have different holidays. But there are no specific holidays, though this is not included here in the points. This is something to know about this dispensation. The ritual is limited to water baptism, though some have thrown that out. The ICE movement's been doing that, because we were on a web page that got on a web page. I don't know how. It doesn't matter. That was supposed to be kind of a clearinghouse for all the different ICE ministries out there, and a little background about them, who's the pastor if they had one, and what their beliefs were and everything. And, we were designated as one of the few that believed that water baptism was still viable for the dispensation. Well, I've given you the proof. You know, it's the old throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've seen that this is clearly a ritual for the dispensation. So we honor it. We don't go nuts about it. We don't have the Church of Christ has a baptistry and wants, because that's part of their salvation package. So you have to have a ready, handy place to dunk people, because you don't want them going to hell. But we don't do that. We just, once a year, if you want to be baptized, here's the principle, do it. It's up to you. It's not a requirement for church membership like it was where I used to go. You couldn't be a member of the organization if you hadn't been baptized by them. This isn't valid. You could be here and be a member and somehow, never do the Lord's table, which not hard. It's hard to imagine that you would, but the Lord's table is the other ritual, and the closest other thing we have to a ritual is ordination. It's an institution to ordain pastors and deacons. So aside from that, that's it. That's all we ought to keep track of. We don't have to keep track of any of these other rituals, any of these other, the ceremonial code. It becomes problematic for some people. How can God change from saying it's wrong to eat pork, and now it's okay to eat pork? It's wrong to lie. It's still wrong to lie. That doesn't change. There's a distinction. God is free to change what ceremonies, rituals, he requires believers to be under at any given point in the administration of his plan. That's how simple it is. Put all that in the ceremonial code. It was a sin for a Jew to violate the ceremonial code. It is a sin for you to violate the ceremonial code of this dispensation, as limited as it is. See, it's a sin for you not to do that. Sin of omission. The Corinthians even had a sin of commission against it with what they were doing. But so you can sin against that, but only within the limited ones that are that are incumbent upon us in this dispensation. Clearing all that aside, this causes you to stand apart from much of Christendom today in their approach to these matters. Major events of the dispensation, I didn't include all the points here, universal priesthood, worldwide worship via the local church, I got all those. Now D, major events of this dispensation include the day of Pentecost, obviously, coming as it did in 33 AD, we've given you the exact date, on the calendar, which was May the 24th, which was a Sunday, happened to be a Sunday. Day of Pentecost, called Pentecost after one of the feast days of Israel, one of the more obscure feast days of Israel, fulfilling and completing the spring cycle of feasts for the age of Israel. They had a spring cycle and a fall cycle, no summer cycle or winter cycle. And these feasts were divided up into the spring cycle, and they corresponded to certain events prophetically in the plan of God, and the Jews observing these rituals were fulfilling those events. As I said, for the Jew, Pentecost was probably the most obscure of the holidays, and it's significant. It is the day in which the church age began. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2. It involved this dramatic display in connection with this advent, if you will, of God the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals are noteworthy for having distorted this. They're still distorting. The Holy Spirit will come again and display himself in a special way in the millennial age. In the millennial age, during the millennium, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Pentecostals all say that's happening as a part of the latter rains. They're wrong. It refers to Israel. It has nothing to do. Now the problem, though, is the way those verses from Joel are quoted in Acts chapter 2 by the apostle, they're actually applied to the situation rather than this is the fulfillment of this. This is the absolute fulfillment of this. Was not the fulfillment of that. The fulfillment comes in the millennium when universally there will be a universal aspect of spirituality in which people all over the place will be dreaming dreams and having visions and prophesying. It'll be just very, very commonplace in the millennial age. The infancy of the church, we have to look at the developmental period here of the church age. The church was in its infancy. And during this time, there were some temporary spiritual gifts which carried the church, which were necessary and useful to the church during this infancy period, which basically ran from 33 to 96 AD. The upper limit would be the turn of the century. By then, and even before then, those gifts were no longer being sovereignly distributed by God towards believers because they were no longer necessary. They were born of necessity, not just to be spectacular. They were spectacular in some instances and wow-type gifts. Tongues, healing, those were spectacular gifts. But for more details on that, you can see the doctrine of spiritual gifts. But many people are running around today claiming, but we would expect that, if it is true, what I'm saying, if it is true that these gifts became extinct. Certain gifts were, like, give you a big example. Apostle. Apostle was very limited to very few men. That gift is no longer being given to people. There are people who pretend to be apostles, like Oral Roberts. They use the name of themselves. The Pope claims to be an apostle. He is not. They are not apostles. There are no legitimate apostles. There are pseudo-apostles, false apostles. We saw that even in the Ephesian church. They put people on trial and to examine them, their credentials, and found them to be liars. So that's a good example of a gift that is no longer with us. Nobody is adding to the canon of Scripture. No one's writing new books in the church and saying, hey, that's scriptural, and we'll add that. You know? The letter to the Maranathans. I mean, there's no books being added. The capstone is the book of Revelation. We could speculate as to whether the canon will be reopened in the millennium. That'd be just speculation. I have no verses that I can latch on to that. God's free to do as He sees fit. But because you have prophets doesn't mean you have to have writing prophets necessarily. So anyway, the temporary gifts were, you could officially declare them when that which was perfect was coming. And of course, this verse has been subject to various interpretations, but the verse says, love never fails. The manifestation, the fruit of love, the filling of the Holy Spirit, it never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. Well, when? When will the gifts of prophecy be done away? I mean, he said they will be done away. That's a statement. They will be done away. People are claiming to be prophets today. We know that in the last days and through the church age, there have been prophets spring up all over the place claiming to be prophets. Various religions have them. Christianity has these people claiming to be prophets. When will prophecy be done away? I've already shown you, or tried to show you, the prophecy will be reinstituted. We know prophets will exist in the Trib. The two prophets, they're prophets. And we know that prophecy will explode in the millennium as per the fulfillment of Joel 2. So prophecy will come back. So it's done away. It's temporarily done away with in the church age as per our... if there are tongues, they will cease. Tongues is the ability to speak in a language you didn't learn. Supernatural ability to speak in a language. It's difficult to learn a new language. Some people have an aptitude for it. But to suddenly be able to speak and articulate and pronounce it correctly rather than be laughed at by people because of your butchering of their accent, the way you present it, even though it may be technically correct, you don't have, someone could just speak in another language, but it was only for a little bit. It was for a specific purpose. One of the major targets was to evangelize people in a language that wasn't yours. And it's in its attendant gov, what did the guy say? Gift of interpretation of tongues. If there is knowledge, this is, God has given me special knowledge. Well, all knowledge we need is in the Bible. This will carry you. This will do fine. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. That was a temporary gift. Again, the canon is in a formation period. People need to know certain things. They couldn't wait to get, you know, so-and-so letter and information. This information was revealed to each body as God saw fit. That would be very interesting to go back into those churches and be able to actually see how this occurred and how churches digested it and promoted the information. So, for we know in part and we will prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. This verse, the perfect, is the canon of Scripture. Not the second advent of Jesus Christ. Pentecostalism traditionally teaches the perfect here as the coming of Jesus Christ. Guess what? When Jesus Christ returns, there will be a reviving of prophecy in His function. So how can it be that? The perfect is the completed canon of Scripture. God views His Word as a unity, as a project in progress that finally realized completion, starting with Moses and ending with John in the book of Revelation. So, everything you need to know, basically, is in the canon of Scripture to become a mature and adjusted believer. All right, evangelism through the dispensation. this again. Does this mean everyone that has ever lived in the church age has to hear the gospel? No. See other doctrines to explain that. Other than the church is responsible to promote the gospel before the world as one of its responsibilities, presenting phase one information to people on the planet. Four, the period of apostasy and a lukewarm approach to the word of God by the church universal, culminating in the appearance of the Antichrist. This is the period of apostasy and corruption that really we're into. One of the ways that we could describe the present age we're in and everything we're facing and hearing all the time from all sources, it's the age of deception. Mass deception. You think you're going to find it on CNN and Fox? No, this is an age of propaganda and deception. It is very subtle. It isn't a matter of, we're just going to tell you lies all the time. We're going to mix truth with error, and then we're going to leave important stuff out. And when you get a kind of a package like that, you pretty well are deceived. You're thrown off track. It's like getting instructions from point A to point B, and if there are certain items in there that are incorrect, while other items are perfectly correct, you won't get to your destination. We live in an age of deception, and I want to tell you, you as a believer, I as a believer, are victimized, have been victimized by this. Now, spiritual or religious deception, we've made big strides in getting free of that through Bible doctrine. But there are other deceptions. Things you have been, that you were propagandized on from all kinds of, with this a communication age, from all sources. Your educational upbringing. There are things you have were good, but there are things where they brainwashed you. I mean, you could be a geologist. And they brainwashed you with evolution. They brainwashed you with evolution. So you come to doctrine, you begin to believe something radically different from what you've been taught in that particular area. No other aspects of your geological training were perfectly okay, because it's based on, you know, physical science, and this is the way things work, and this is the way we get oil out of the ground or whatever, or find it in the first place. That's fine, but there are still deceptions, things we take as axiomatically true that are going to be found out to be wrong, and that includes in the realm of science as well. Professionals really like to protect their little body of truth. Anybody that's a maverick, anybody that stands out, anyone says this is wrong, they turn on like hyenas. You got to toe the line. It's not dissimilar to religion. You better toe the line. And we didn't get anywhere in civilization because everyone toed the line. Somebody took the heat. Somebody was persecuted. Somebody suffered because of their convictions regarding the truth. And eventually, over time, the weight of evidence eventually moved the mass towards this is right. I've seen simple examples of that. We had the flat earth thing. I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. You know, the earth is the center of the solar system. It was heresy not to say that to the Catholic Church. And that was their science, too. We all laugh at that now and say, that's stupid. But we haven't got free of it. There are other things, whether you figure them out or not. Some of them aren't going to make the difference necessarily whether you're going to go to maturity or not. But it might make the difference in other aspects of your life. So we've been lied to. When I point out things like, you know, our monetary system, that's a whole big eye-opener. And yet it is orthodox doctrine to people that deal with this area of life. And yet when your eyes are open to it, you're just aghast that this could have been put over on and perpetuated to this point on the American people. This is the age of deception. Pray to God that God will keep you free from being deceived, certainly spiritually, by things. That God will keep you alert and awake to things. And other things that you may need to know that just may be interesting. Oh, I know the truth about that, and everyone else has fed this. Because it's in a history book doesn't mean it's true. There's a lot of things that have been corrupted, and the wool has been pulled over people. We're going to see the level of this. You know, it's nice to know certain things so you can sit back and say, yeah, well, if that's what the masses want to believe, let them believe it. It's how the American people are so arrogant about it. They think they're so superior that couldn't happen in our society, and it's actually happened to them. Arrogance always leads to that kind of a setup. So anyway, there's a period of apostasy. There was things prophesied for the future of this dispensation, the rise of, the latter days. This developed later in the church age, not when Paul spoke these words, but in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and following, God the Holy Spirit sovereignly revealed through Paul to be an encouragement to believers to watch out for trends in the last days. These trends didn't begin, with the establishment of the state of Israel. Some of these trends have been operative for some time. Excuse me. This just jumps out at you all the time today. It's like, the pot's always been hot. And then it starts bubbling, and then it roars. This is kind of the way you see these things developing. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Last days is a designation not just for the period that we're in. It's a designation for the whole church age. Really. I mean, a believer, you have to define your terms. A believer living in 1100 AD was in the last days. He was in the last days. And he could see these things, but obviously we have come to that final generation of the last days. Difficult times will come. King James Version has perilous times. For men will be lovers of self. We certainly don't see any of that, do we? People will love themselves. I don't want to sit up here. There's so many illustrations of this. It's just, where do we start? Of examples of people demonstrating self-love. Lovers of money. Boastful. Arrogant. Revilers. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Unloving. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips. Without self-control. Brutal. Haters of good. Treacherous. Reckless. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness. We've got to have our religion, don't we? We got to have our religious facade, our look-good deal. Where do you go to church? This is somebody who's a lover of self, lover of pleasure, lover of money, betrays people whenever it's convenient, blah, blah, blah. But they go to this big house of worship with its beautiful facade, and they feel good. That's where they go. So they have a form of godliness. A form of godliness. Some of these forms are very convincing to the flesh, but God sees through them. Having a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, the power of true godliness is sound doctrine, incorporated into the life. Avoid such men as these. Oh, good, I don't have to be around these people. I don't need to fellowship with these. These aren't going to be my buddies. Hang out people. I'm going to avoid these people. That doesn't mean I can't avoid them in the absolute sense of Hermitsville. That's not the point. The Bible says we have to live in the world. We do rub shoulders with them. They're in the workplace. They're around us. But whether they're in our fleshly family or just the human family, I can avoid these people. Avoid them like a plague. Avoid such men. See, there's your doctrine of separation. Separation applied. So that you have the wisdom to know how to relate to people who are in these categories. You do have to deal with them at a certain level. And you got to figure out what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. And it's a learning process. Someone will be sure to tell you at Maranatha Church just how to, cross your T's and dot your I's and distinguish between your P's and Q's. But they may be right, they may not be. Again, we have to figure this out for ourselves. You know, it's like we got a lot of commands in Scripture, and we're striving to figure them out and try to uphold these principles. But we're to avoid such men as these. We have at least we know, don't we, that we're supposed to stay clear of this person. It's like you tell somebody, stay away from that. Well, that makes sense, right? Don't hang out with those people. They're wrong. So avoiding people means exactly that. You may have opportunities to be in partnership with them of some form or a level for economic reasons or other reasons. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those, this is a strange verse, are those who enter into households. This isn't a thief in the night. This is, you know, and captivate weak women. There's a discussion of whether the weak women here are literal of the female species or weak people spiritually, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. A strange verse, a challenging verse to figure out what all are we talking about here. Can you show me in the real world an example of this? Well, obviously, one of the ways that enters our households now and no one comes through a window or a door is TV. We're addicted to TV. We literally, like people, are addicted to certain foods. They got to have them over and over again. Did you know they actually put things in food so you'll go back and eat them again? Called flavor enhancers. So that you become, I got to have my fix. And your chemistry gets going like you do, like people's chemistry get onto certain things. They got to have it over and over and over again. Well, I understand the rationale for it. It's not, you know, exactly good for your health, causes you to gain weight and other things. But the rationale for it is that the manufacturers of food want you to buy their food. So they got little stuff put in there. It might be on ingredients, if you could identify the word. It's designed to get you to come back. To come back again and again and again to have your fast food fix, whatever fix you're trying to get. So same thing is true of TV. We're addicted to it. People would go nuts if they could walk into their room where their TV is and suddenly there was no TV. They'd be, if the thing didn't work for some reason. And they had to spend a prolonged period of time in their home without either viewing it or background noise. I mean, I'm just pointing out something here. That's up to your priesthood to figure this all out. I mean, it's up between you and God. I'm just pointing out something. It's like the minute they get in their home, where's the remote? This is addiction. There is a principle that they can't live without it. No matter how bad the game is, they've got to see a sporting event. They've got to have a fix. It's in their system. That's what TV has done. Some people are addicted to video games. They live for hours shoving pizza in their face while playing video games, drinking Coke, eating pizza, and playing video games. This can't be good for you over an extended period of time. It absolutely cannot. And we're an indulgent civilization that has to have these things. These are kinds of things that we find ourselves addicted to. People are addicted to credit. They're addicted to all kinds of things. These are addictions. That obviously, I just present this to you, you know, so you can see it. So people are, and there's certain types of programming they especially like. You know, my remote works fast. I so it doesn't get stuck on the religious channel. Oh my God, that's awful. I'll get over that. Some people are addicted to sex and pornography. They get addicted to it. See, it's a matter, and so here he's talking about in the last days, you know, thank you for letting us bring you into your home. And there's, you know, Benny Heine and the Jack Van Wimpy and whoever it is. Did I mispronounce their names? Jack Van Impey, sorry. Jack and Chrishilla. If that isn't a pair, that is funny. Actually, there's a certain humor about that, but you know, sick humor on my part. It's just the weirdest people, and this is. And of course, you're listening to this guy, and you're flipping channels, and you're watching all the religious programs. Brent has got all the religious programming blotted out at the house. I just get this thing, you know, you can't get to it. What was that? Oh, it's the Power Hour or whatever it is. You know, PTL. she's got all that blocked out. You know, she's got all the shopping channels blocked out. I mean, there's hardly anything left. Law and order, or whatever that is, you know, those, you can get all those. She'll get her just desserts, you know. Don't say. Okay, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Well, that's definitely a maxim and a mantra for the last days. Always something new to learn. Some of it's good information, too. This isn't like all learning stuff. Some learning is corrupt, not right. Other is useful, but it's people are pursuing knowledge at the expense of spiritual knowledge. That's basically what that is. Just as Janus and Jambres, the J-boys I call them, Janus and Jambres, two people you never heard of. I wouldn't know who their names were except for Paul was told who these guys were. Janus and Jambres. There might be something in extra biblical literature that mentions them. I'm not offhand aware of that. Opposed Moses. These were the magicians, the wonder boys in the court of Pharaoh. So these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. So the Janus and Jambres crowd are very much with us. I saw a guy on TV. How big's your church? He's a young guy, personable, attractive looking. 40,000 people. And I'm waiting, because this was on the news. It wasn't on a religious television, it was on the news. And I was waiting to find out, you know, what his message, if you could summarize his message. And it was, of course, health and prosperity. Well, that's a big sell. First of all, you got to have a healthy person in front of you. You can't have someone extremely overweight, you know, with acne and everything. You got to have somebody who looks viable and, you know, vibrant and up there in the pulpit. So he's preaching health. He has the health and prosperity gospel. It is highly appealing to people. And you package it with a very charismatic person. And, his assembly had 40,000 people, he said. I saw his auditorium was humongous. Well, how do you minister to all those people? Well, of course he doesn't. It's just a bunch of people out there that he organizes this. But if he taught the truth, that 40,000 would dwindle. He'd be in that cavern by himself. He's got, well, we're going to resort to teaching verse by verse. That'd just run them off. Next session, if you come back. They wouldn't hear of it. These are people who oppose the truth, who will not teach the truth, the whole truth. See, Paul says it isn't about some of the truth where some people get hooked. Well, they had that right. Well, they had that right. So I'll listen to this guy. They didn't teach the whole truth. That's the point. We want the whole truth. We want the full package. We don't want a truncated system of theology where you've left out this and this and this and this. So certain doctrines, well, if I don't teach that, that'll be, people will like that. That's just, to me, anathema. I'll quit. I might as well go, you know, do whatever. If the doctrine is in front of us, we teach it because it's the truth. It's disgusting to keep things from people. But they will not make further progress. Well, you know what this tells me? They may have a long run. Some of these evangelists and people, they've had a long run. You'd think God was for them, wouldn't you? Many years in the ministry, as long as I've been in the ministry in some instances, longer. But the point is, they will not make further progress. For their folly will be obvious to all, just as Janus and Jambres' folly was also. They're going to be exposed. Somehow, some way, God is going to expose. Not the occasional, I don't mean just the occasional scandal that attaches itself to one of these ministries. You know, sexual or financial scandal. I'm survive that. I'm talking about big time exposure. Which probably, you know, isn't going to happen to these people until the Bema Seat and the tribulation. Then they'll get exposed. Then they'll be brought down. Otherwise, they basically run amok on the planet. It's another category of people. Why isn't God getting these people saying all this stuff in His name? It's been going on for a long time. And the worst thing you can do to a person is deceive them spiritually, mislead them spiritually, cause them to stumble spiritually, feed them wrong information. Now, we all may make a mistake. God takes that into consideration. You know, I may give you advice and it may not be the best because I don't know all the facts or whatever, but I'm talking about these mass purveyors of misinformation who will not submit themselves to the truth. Characteristic of the church age. That's a characteristic through the age, intensifies in the rapture generation. Explosion of knowledge and technology. Wow. There's more to that than we even imagine, too. What they have in view. What technology is operating so fast that there's some pretty interesting stuff on that. I think by the time the Antichrist gets in power, he will have an idol that will be a very sophisticated android. A combination of bio and mechanical. I mean, they're talking about technology. See, technology isn't just, you know, we go to the vacuum tube and we go to the computer chip and we work. Now, yes, and those are big jumps, and people make these as marks of the, well, but they have word terms they call nanotechnology, putting stuff into your bloodstream to rebuild your heart totally. Give a 60-year-old man a heart of a 25-year-old man, rebuild it. Every cell in your body does die off. And they know how long it takes for your heart to redo itself. Your cells are dying by the billions and trillions all the time. And some die. Some have a very tiny lifespan. Some have a longer, like bones, the longest, I believe. Anyway, something close to that. But the idea is they're thinking about putting this stuff into your bloodstream, fixing stuff, eliminating. I mean, on and on and on and on, cloning all kinds of stuff. They talk about in the next 10, 15 years, you won't even recognize now the technology. Look at the miniaturization, all these facts, which I'm not able to articulate, but you can find those who are prognosticators with regard to future, what is called, what I've got word used, what do you mean by that? Futurology. Those who are mentally able to kind of anticipate where we'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. In terms of human technology, it's just accelerating. Now, obviously, the Lord has all this under control. I understand this. It's going to go to a point. He's not going to let it violate His plan and what His interests are. But there is a tremendous. If you didn't have doctrine and you were trying to put your faith in something, you'd put it in technology. That what the future might hold for eliminating disease. Eliminating a lot of stuff based on technology. Have your house full of robots running everything. But then there becomes a problem. And this is brought out in the movie The Matrix, which was hard to follow for some of us. When the machines start running everything and they replicate them. So it's really wild stuff. You see, it sounds like science fiction, but these people are dead serious about it. So I read a few little things about it. There's some books out on it. Explosion of knowledge, travel, and technology. Daniel 12:4. There's probably technologies that are being hidden and kept from people for various reasons. Because if they were released, we wouldn't be dependent on oil. And we wouldn't be dependent on a lot of stuff. So there are people who know a lot about these things. Obviously, the masses are going to be the last to learn. Explosion of knowledge, technology, and travel, Daniel 12:4. And, of course, this age concludes with, of course, that wonderful event we're all looking forward to. It'll solve all of our problems, the rapture. They'll handle all of your testing and reveal to everybody who was what and who wasn't. A general overview of the church and spiritual condition during this age is found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, which I just studied for you, which we just worked through, and apply it to your life. Well, these things go on in Maranatha. What's wrong with Maranatha? Well, you got to look at these churches, and you got to remember the information we taught. You got to see how God views things, not in a moment of excitement, where you're operating out of your right brain instead of the brain of logic, which is your left brain, as they call it, where you are logical rather than emotional. You have emotions, but that you separate and you follow the doctrine. And if you follow the doctrine, you'll get through this maze. You'll get through this. If not, you're lost in the Amazon if you're running under your emotions. with regard to things. Know when your emotions are raging and taking over, and you need to back down and look at it from a doc. If this is true, then follow the doctrine. That's all I'm telling you. Okay, we'll stop here. Keep handy the doctrine of the deity of Christ. I am buying some time, and I'll admit to that, because I wanted to, in my own mind, have peace with regard to what we're going to be hearing about the four familiar but misunderstood horsemen of the apocalypse. So that's coming soon. So we'll get through this and do the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Maybe by next Sunday we can get into the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All right, let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are exceedingly grateful that you are for us, that you provide for us the wisdom and knowledge we need in these last days. We do at times feel inadequate, but you make us adequate. Continue to be with us, direct us, the leadership, and the individual members of this church, that we'll continue this year, and that we will hold fast to the head of the church, Jesus Christ, through yet another year before us. Thank you for all the grace that you supplied us with in getting us through the last year. We know that your grace is sufficient and that you made provision for each of us and all of us collectively to face the challenges and the tests of the coming year. Be with us in Christ's name. Amen.